Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to a special podcast reflecting on the theme Hope at Christmas. This is a theme that the moderator, Dr. David Bruce, has chosen to help us as a church focus during this festive season as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. I'm Sarah Harding, the editor of the Presbyterian Herald magazine, and I'll be your host today. I'm joined by Reverend Richard Kerr, the minister of Temple Patrick Presbyterian, Olivia Elwood, a member of Bloomfield Presbyterian, and Ilona Verez, one of PCI's global mission workers. A very warm welcome to all of you. I'm just going to start by asking each of you to briefly introduce yourselves to us. So we'll start with you, Richard.
My name is Richard Kerr. I'm the minister of Temple Patrick Presbyterian Church, and I've just recently been appointed the convener of the Global Development Committee. So I'm trying to get my head around that at the moment.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Olivia?
Yeah, my name's Olivia. I am a student here in Plymouth at the University of Plymouth doing environmental management and sustainability. Yeah.
Great. And Ilona?
Hi, I'm Ilona Verez. My husband Chuba and I are global mission workers working in Romania with our partner church, the Hungarian Reformed Church in Romania. We work in an integral mission outreach to the Roma community through the work of the Diaconia, which is actually the social action mission of the Reformed Church. We've got two young adult children, both at university in the UK, and we've been living in Cluj for the past 21 years now. We're really glad to be home back in Northern Ireland for a time of home assignment.
Great. So yes, welcome to you all. Thanks for joining us. So this time last year, Dr. Bruce's theme was Home for Christmas. And at that stage, it was very appropriate because we were all at home. We were locked down because of the pandemic. And 1 year on, that word home has now become hope. And it is to reflect where we are now on this pandemic journey and the fact that we are looking forward in hope. So Richard, I'll come to you first. Considering that theme, Hope at Christmas, as a minister in the conversations that you're having and the people that you're ministering to, do you feel that people are hopeful at the moment?
I think it's a mixed picture, Sarah. Many people are hopeful that we will make our way through this pandemic with vaccines and all of that, that we are starting to come out the other side. But it has been a long time, and I get the feeling from many folks that they are tired, they're fed up with all of that. I see, as I meet older people who are lonely, who feel cut off from friends, family. Church is not the same as it would have been in the past. We are still socially distant as we meet for worship. We don't have tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards the way that we would have done. And I think in a wider sense, there are people dealing with fairly deep mental health issues. And I see that expressing itself in various ways. So yes, people are hopeful in that sense. But I think also there are people who are struggling to deal with everything that's going on as well. Sometimes even fearful about health, about their own health, about the health of a loved one, and just about other issues, maybe a business, it may be their income and all of that as well. And yet, I think more than ever at this time of year, as we approach Christmas, we need to be reminded of the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. That in the midst of the storm that is this pandemic that we're still trying to make our way through, that Jesus will bring us through. And that is certainly very, very central to what we're thinking about as we move towards Christmas. And just to give you a little example, this coming Saturday, just as we begin Advent, we're going to be opening the church for prayer. It's not possible to have that in group form as we might have done in the past, but we're going to create space for people to come and spend time in guided prayer in the church for an hour or whatever time they want to spend, just to focus on the hope that is central this Christmas.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea. Lovely. I'm thinking as well, as convener of the Global Development Committee, you will have a wider perspective on this as well. In particular, thinking about the World Development Appeal, which PCI supports at this time every year. The current one entitled Weathering the Storm, and it's helping people in places like Ethiopia and Haiti. Could you maybe share with us your thoughts on the hope that this appeal brings to people around the world?
Well, maybe even before we go around the world, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us in churches here to be part of something much bigger than ourselves. I think there's been a real danger over the past months that we have become very inward-looking as we try to deal with COVID and its impact on our lives. And I think it's important for us to be able to see that we are part of a much bigger global community and part of a global church, and that other people are facing challenges different to ours and similar to ours as well. And of course, the people of Ethiopia and Haiti face many, many great challenges. COVID is an issue there, of course. Also, climate change and its impact, and the impact of climate change on poorer communities and poorer people is much, much greater than it is here in the West. And there is a danger sometimes that we become insulated from all of that and inward looking. I think this is also about being with people, partnering with people, standing with people, showing we care. And indeed, it's right at the heart of the Christmas message. It's God with us, the hope that we have, and sharing that hope with others and bringing them to God, not only in our giving, because it's not just about money, but also in prayer and in being in partnership with them. And I'm excited about the two projects that we're supporting, partnering with the Ethiopian Evangelical Church, McKinney Jesus, and the Christian Community Foundation in Action in Haiti, and our two local partners, Tear Fund and Christian Aid, both organizations that have a proven track record of making a difference in the name of Christ. They're holistic, they're serving the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. And I think it's wonderful to be part of this. And it's about making this connection, about us thinking, as I say, beyond ourselves and connecting with the people in these countries, people who are our brothers and sisters. And I think that is particularly important. You know, one of the scriptures that stands out for me in this is how Paul, the Apostle Paul, collected from the churches in Achaia, Macedonia, and Galatia for the big famine in Jerusalem, and was able to take that as a gift, showing their love and their concern for those who were in need. And I think we as God's people today have an opportunity to do something similar. And the World Development Appeal is our opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there about one of the focuses of the World Development Appeal is on climate. And Livia, I wonder if I could bring you in here. You have been, maybe people will have seen you interview our moderator about climate change. And if people haven't seen that wee video, it's still available on the PCI website if you want to catch it. With climate change being in the news so much recently, especially with COP26 in Glasgow, Olivia, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are now after that conference. Do you have more hope for our planet?
Yeah, I think it's a real mix of things. And I think that's how most people feel off the back of COP26. It definitely progress is made, but is it total justice? No. So I think there's always more to be striving towards and more to be working towards. I think one of the sadder things was the kind of lack of commitment from richer nations to support poorer nations and to help them in terms of putting in place things to combat climate change. But that's definitely something to be praying into and praying for. And I think what the big amount of hope that has come out of COP26 has been, first of all, some agreements were reached, but also just the massive witness of people who followed Jesus who were there at that conference, organisations like Tear Fund who were there raising the banner for Jesus and for a better vision for the world. There were organisations like Young Christian Climate Network who at the G7 summit a couple of months prior started a pilgrimage walk from Truro in the southwest of England all the way up to Glasgow, a relay of young people walking all the way up towards that conference as a witness for Jesus and saying that as we as Christians we care about this. And just how it's brought people together over and united them in a way in the church. Sometimes we feel like we're going against the world a lot at the minute, and we feel like we're kind of rubbing up against a lot of social issues. And actually, this is something where we can come alongside people, say, yeah, we care about the environment too. And this is why, and this is our hope in Jesus. So I think that's been the biggest like banner and like symbol of hope that's come out of COP26 for me.
And do you think that the churches, do you think we've been quite slow to get on board with all of this?
I think in churches we've always recognized it as something that needs working on. We've always recognized it as something that we need to care for creation. But sometimes, and this goes for absolutely everyone, it's hard to join up the dots in between prayers and action and what all we can do. And some of that is because it's so new and we're only realizing now how integrated this is into our day-to-day lives and how much of a difference we can make. And actually what I've seen in the past couple of years as I've kind of been very interested in my own congregation is people who've been giving opportunities to share about climate and waste and all these different things, and people have been really receptive and really willing to make change. So I think actually the testament is change is happening. Obviously you'd love to have change happen as fast as possible, but change is happening and people are open.
Yeah. Richard, do you feel that as a minister, is it something that you would preach about from the pulpit?
It's certainly something that I would be speaking about, yes, and also be something that would be a subject of our prayers as well as we engage with this issue. I think it's a challenge for us. You know, I speak to people in the farming community, for example, about how they might address some of these issues. I think many are open to looking at how they can do things which will make a difference to addressing climate change. And many have practices which are very, very positive. And there are others who perhaps are more resistant, and there are challenges there as well. And I see that reflected in the wider congregation too. But it's certainly something that we raise. It's something that we try to encourage people to engage with. But we see it also not just about ourselves, but, and this is again coming back to what I said earlier, it is about helping us to think about who we are in a much broader sense as part of a worldwide community of people, but also of the church, of God's people in different places, and that we can't simply be protecting our own interests at the expense of others. And I think there is a danger very often that we will weather the storm reasonably well. We have an abundance. We are reasonably well off. And I speak for myself as well as others. Whereas there are many, many people for whom the impact of climate change is much closer to that of life and death. That harvests just are not adequate. In the video for the World Development Appeal, for example, the folks there in Ethiopia speak about trying to reduce the gap between harvests from 5 to 2 months. Like, we don't have any idea what it's like to have 2 months, and we just don't know where we'll get food to put on our table. So it's a very, very different context. But it's trying to make that connection between who we are, where we are, and others in other parts of the world, and see that we are interconnected, that we can't be insulated from that, and that we have a responsibility as God's people to engage and to make a difference, and that each one of us can play our part.
And Livia, as you mentioned there, young people have very much been at the forefront of pushing into the agenda the climate change issue. And you mentioned there about a young organisation and the things that they're doing. In more broader terms, I'm wondering, as a young person living today, do you think that young people are lacking in hope in regard to the society that we're living in?
Yeah, I'd say definitely. It springs to mind something on my course that we cover is a lot of young people at the minute are suffering from eco-anxiety, which basically means they're so stressed about climate change and what might happen and the fact that not enough action is happening that actually is causing them to be really anxious. Yeah, so definitely there is a lack of hope, because if you're putting all your faith and all your prospects in, I really hope that the climate and how the world's going works out that way, you would be really nervous. It's not really something you can place hope in at the minute. And likewise, there's lots of other things that we're kind of being told to put our faith in. Put faith in your job, faith in your grades, put faith in, and you can see in schools the past year, those who were putting their faith in their grades have really had a shaking, because suddenly exams are taken away from them and all these different things. So I'd say, yeah, there is a real lack of hope, and there is a real need for Jesus in my generation, as there is in every generation. But yeah, it's so much more exciting than I'm at university and involved in the Christian Union. And it's so exciting to see the opportunity then that comes from being able to share Jesus with people, and how many lives could just be changed by seeing Jesus. And that's just exciting.
Yeah. And do you feel that young people are quite open to that message? You know, because they do seem to be open to a lot of different messages. So does that include the message of Jesus?
I think you get mixed reactions. People are far more open at this kind of stage of the university level than I find they were in school. So I suppose that kind of differs, and the culture you're in day to day will kind of shape you that way. But yeah, I find some people to be surprisingly open. And I think a lot of the time it's been amazing just how people's view of Jesus is so different to my view of Jesus. I was privileged to be brought up in a church and be brought up knowing and loving Jesus, and that's not the case for everyone. And some people's depiction of him is just so different to the Jesus and the God I know. Yeah, so it's interesting to kind of walk with people in that and see how they've almost been misrepresented who God is and his loving character.
Yeah. And Ilona, you are working in the area of children's and family ministry in Romania. And I'm just interested to compare how young people in Romania are feeling at the current time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I really agree with some of the things Richard was saying. In Romania, it's similar, that young people that we work with are tired and they're weary. I think they're really tired of this isolation. They're tired of a lack of social interaction with one another. And there's still a lot of fear around the coronavirus. I mean, in November in Romania, we had the highest COVID infection rate and death rate since the pandemic began, with only 33% of the population being vaccinated. So really the situation was very grim. In this fourth wave, more children and young people than ever were hospitalized, and it made many young people anxious. In Romania, you know, your school would have to go online if under 60% of your teachers are not vaccinated. And then vaccination passes at the minute have to be shown to enter any social event or supermarket or shopping mall. So there's even evening curfews for the unvaccinated. So young people really are finding many disruptions to their education, to their social life. And they're feeling tired and weary. On the other hand, I really have to say that for some of the pandemic, we've had special permission for churches to continue with ministries. So there have been real opportunities in our home church in Cluj for a more meaningful youth work, for a deeper youth work, and also for being more creative. I mean, doing things like mountain hike Bible studies and telephone prayer chains and other things which we wouldn't normally have done. So generally, I see a sense that young people are tired and are in real need of hope. Now more than ever, young people need strong fellowship. They need real support and nurture in their faith. They need people to pray with them so that they will grow in confidence in this expectation that God is good and that our life is in a safe place when we place it into the hands of Jesus.
Yeah, and relationships are key in that, as you said. They're feeling isolated, and it's really the discipleship of being alongside young people, isn't it? That's very important.
It is indeed, yes. It's very crucial to be there alongside them, yes.
Could you perhaps share with us a little bit about the work that you do and then maybe the hope that you see coming out of that?
Yeah, for us, bringing hope means... It's really a two-pronged thing, and it's all to do with our holistic approach to mission in Romania to this very marginalized group, the Roma community. And first of all, for us, bringing hope means just demonstrating God's love simply by meeting the practical needs of the people around us. I mean, that could be anything from, you know, holding our daily after-school programs with Roma children, just helping them with their education, or one-to-one literacy classes with young adults, just helping them to get into the job market. Or it could be maybe during the pandemic, setting up our breakfast club and online schooling program for Roma children who didn't have devices or didn't have internet connection. So they otherwise would have been totally excluded from school. So the hope that we see coming out of all that we're involved in is when the community can see God's love and faithfulness in the way that the church love and care for them in a crisis. We believe that that can be a very powerful witness.
And are you going back to Romania soon? Are you here for a little while or...?
We're here for a time of home assignment, probably until February. But maybe if I could go back just to your first question. Sorry, Sarah. I wanted to say that our work is two-pronged. I mean, firstly, there's a lot of practical things and ways which we can serve the community. But secondly, you know, bringing hope is really about sharing Jesus. It's about inviting people to become followers of him, and it's about discipleship. And, you know, in the past year, this has been very, very difficult for us and very challenging because we couldn't meet in person. And, you know, many times we wanted to create a virtual community to study God's word, to get around God's word when we couldn't meet in person. But this wasn't as simple as it sounds. It wasn't easy at all because of low literacy levels in the community, also because of the digital divide. I mean, many of our communities would be struggling with low literacy. We may not have devices at home or may not have internet connection. So that made keeping contact and connecting with people and teaching, bringing Bible teaching to people, really quite difficult. I mean, in the end, we tried to solve it with telephone calls and with messenger groups so that people can actually listen to short Bible teaching just when they have money or when they have internet connection. We can say really overall that among the believers, we see a confident expectation that God's at work and that he's faithful. I mean, even during the pandemic, one lady in our Bible study group came to faith in Jesus. So that was a real joy for us. She was even able to get baptized during a time when restrictions were eased. So I mean, that was fantastic and really a sign to us that God is faithful. He's at work in the hearts and lives of people, bringing hope even in the midst of the many challenges we face.
Yes, yes. Richard, you're also involved in a charity here called Embrace NI. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that and the hope that that is bringing to people.
Yes, Embrace is an organisation that exists to resource churches to engage with immigrants, people who are coming to Northern Ireland from different parts of the world. And what we want to do essentially is provide churches with the resources that they need to engage, to show the love of Christ to people who are coming, and to provide a welcome, and if you like, a home from home. And the churches are ideally placed to do that. Now, I appreciate that through this pandemic, that is more challenging. But I'm aware of lots of opportunities at the moment to, in so many ways to do that. You know, there are churches who are involved in a whole range of ways, some very practical ways through food, clothing. There are churches who are running English classes for immigrants, a very practical way, again, to help. And also there are churches able to run Bible studies. And it's just been a great opportunity for people to engage and to convey that hope to people coming from other parts of the world, the hope that the church has and the compassion and the care and the love that we have. And we've seen some wonderful stories of people engaging with the church, coming to faith in Christ and experiencing that love and that hope. And that's something that is exciting. Embrace is an organization from across the denominations. We have people from different backgrounds, but our focus very much is that biblical mandate to welcome the stranger in Jesus' name and to reach out to them. And that is essentially what we're about. And we want to support and resource churches wherever they are to enable them to reach out and to engage in person and to come alongside people, because that is the most key thing. It goes back to what we were saying earlier, you know, and about the challenge of just engaging with people and being in their presence. I heard a wonderful story yesterday of somebody who was engaging with a group of refugees who had traveled some distance and were a little bit despondent. And this person went up to them and asked, was there any way that she could help? And they said, please just sit with us and talk to us and share with us. And sometimes it is that human contact and that connection that is so key and shows that we care and that we love people.
Yeah. And do you get a sense that for us who are finding it hard, actually, if we kind of lift our eyes off of ourselves onto other people, that that is a really good thing for us to do as well?
Very much so. I've touched on that already, but I think it is so easy. And I'm personally guilty of this too, so I'm not speaking of anybody else. It is so easy to get caught up in ourselves, our own small corner, even our own issues and problems and the challenges around COVID. And there's plenty of those in ministry. But seeing others and seeing their context, and I've been very fortunate recently to be involved with a group of immigrants and we've been doing some English classes with them. And that has been deeply, deeply enriching, but also deeply, deeply challenging, because when you hear their stories and you hear where they've come from and the journeys that they've had to get here, it just brings all of our situation into perspective and helps us to realize just how blessed we are, but also that we have the opportunity to bless others. And we are blessed as we engage with others too. So it's very much, dare I say it, a win-win situation, but certainly it's not simply about us giving, it is also about us receiving.
Yes. Ilona, do you find that it's just so rewarding, the work that you're doing and the difference that it's making?
It is. It definitely is. There are many signs of hope and signs that the Lord is at work and in people's lives, and it's tremendous. Yeah.
And Olivia, you mentioned working with the CU. Are you kind of on committee, what are you involved in at university over there?
Yeah, I'm on the CU committee this year, and yeah, we've got some exciting Christmassy things coming up, which we're really excited about. A carol service that will be in person this year, and we had an online carol service last year, so we're really excited to hold it in person. And usually uni students are quite open to coming to a carol service, but the last in-person one, I'm told, had 500 to 600 students in the one church, so I'm really looking forward to that if all goes ahead.
Brilliant. Well, listen, thank you all for your contributions today. Olivia, you kind of segued into what I was just going to say next, that often we finish the podcast when contributors are asked to have a Bible verse ready that they can share that means a lot to them at the current time. But since it's Christmas, thinking of carol services, we thought we'd change it up a bit, and I'd love you each to share your favourite Christmas carol or the words of a Christmas song that will be particularly giving hope to you this Christmas. So maybe we'll start with you, Olivia.
For me, it's going to have to be O Holy Night. We sang it a lot for our carol services throughout school, and I just think it's so powerful. That part where it says, fall on your knees, hear the angel voices, O night divine. Just how powerful God is and how powerful it is, the message that he came into our world. It's just insane, but great.
Yeah, brilliant. And Ilona?
Yeah, goodness, it's really hard to choose just one. Yeah, if I had to choose one, it would be O Come All Ye Faithful. I mean, it takes me back to my youth group at the time when I was a young person in Sloane Street, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And it just takes me back to those days when we all went out carol singing around Lisburn. I think this carol really has the essence of Christmas. It's all about coming to worship the King of Kings. It's about adoring him. And I love the fact that it calls us to come. Come, all ye faithful, and come to Bethlehem, and come and behold him, and come and adore him. I mean, it just reminds me that we've got to come. We've got to arrive at Bethlehem. We've got to shake off all of those distractions that would hold us back. Anything that would hold us back from fully adoring him. It's a wonderful Christmas carol.
Yeah. Thank you. And finally, Richard.
Well, I'm going to go to something that is a more modern song. In fact, I only first heard it last year, and it's called O Come All You Unfaithful. It's a Sovereign Grace song, but the lyrics start, O come all you unfaithful, come weak and unstable, come know you're not alone. O come barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come see what your God has done. And then the refrain, Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. But it challenges me deeply, because I know that I'm not always as faithful to the Lord as I should. And I'm aware of many people who are broken and weary and struggling and finding things difficult at this time. But the hope that we have this Christmas is that Christ is born for you, is born for me, is born for each one of us. And that really inspires me and gets me excited. I could name lots of carols, and I struggled a little bit with this, but this one just stood out for me.
Yeah, brilliant. We'll have to look out for that one then this year. It's got me definitely in the Christmas mood. I'll have to go and think about putting my decorations up early, I think. So thank you very much to all of my guests today. To find out more about Hope at Christmas, or to access any of the resources produced, including blogs, videos and devotional reflections, please go to presbyterianireland.org. Thanks for joining us. Have a lovely Christmas.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.